Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025, today's episode is with a piece called Happy Shadow, which is a part of the Biennale College Cinema Immersive. So this is a virtual reality piece where it's a bit of a game of sorts where you have to use these different embodied interactions to create these shapes, but you have to collaborate with other people because it's a multiplayer experience. So you collaboratively create these shapes in order to unlock the next beat of the story, which is a story that's played through shadows on the wall. So the different contextual domains that are being explored is both body and identity as a vehicle to connect to the life and vitality within the experience of a home environment. So looking at the context of the home and these shadows within the context of these walls. So this is a center of gravity of, I'd say, the air element in the sense that, you know, you're working with other people throughout the course of this experience. And so it definitely feels like you're interacting with other people as a core part of the experience overall, that you can't necessarily do it yourself, but you're there with other people helping to solve these various puzzles. So there's kind of like an embodied puzzle, mental friction type of experience of the piece. And then the second quality of presence is a fire element. So there's a lot of interactive components of like moving your body and solving these puzzles. And so these different embodied interactions where you have to make these different shapes in order to unlock and progress the story. So it's kind of interactivity gated moments to then get to the next cutscene of the spatial story as it's playing out in the course of these shadows. And then the third center of gravity is the earth element in terms of these very embodied interactions where you have to create these shapes and move your body in a way to change the scale and also to rotate them. And so it ends up being a very embodied piece. But overall, it's a virtual reality CGI animation piece. But you're also looking in the vein of these shadows and puppets that are seeing as the characters are playing out on these bedroom walls of this kind of childhood home. And then finally, the last elemental center of gravity is the water element in terms of the emotional presence and the overall story and, you know, the music. So it's a very metaphoric story, exploring the themes of the story, the archetypal character of the story as aspects of self, identity, aliveness, and vitality. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Pepe happened on Sunday, August 31st, 2026, at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Hello, I'm Lin Peiying, and you can call me Pepe. I'm the VR director of Happy Shadow. I'm from Taiwan, and I'm also a filmmaker and dancer.
Great. Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into this space.
Yeah, why I stepped into VR industry is that my first VR is called Lips, and this won the grand prize in Kaohsiung VR Film-led Talent Workshop. And this is why I start to combine my dance background and immersive work together. I also won the selecting in South by Southwest SR Experience Spotlight in that year. So the journey is just keep going like that. And Happy Shadow is my second VR project. Yeah.
Okay, and maybe you could give a bit more context for the Happy Shadow getting into the College Biennale and then how it was developed there.
Yeah, I use Chinese, okay. Happy Shadow 它是学院 2022年的学院作品, 然后在那时候我想要做一个多人的互动体验, 然后想要来探讨就是为什么女性在隐形的框架之中感觉到不快乐。
So it was back in 2022 that I got into Biennale College Cinema, and I wanted to do a multiplayer experience. And through it, I want to explore why women had these rules, invisible rules imposed on them by the social structure, and why they felt really unhappy in it.
Great. And so maybe you could talk around, like, where did the idea for Happy Shadow come from?
它的原因从哪里来的？这个灵感来源来自于我以前在做舞者的经验，就是我参加了一个即兴的表演，它是一个要你想象你是被一个巨大的方块困住。 然后你要去触碰那些隐形的点，然后我在那个过程当中看见到，即使在这么简单的规则之中，观众可以创造出一个非常好看但是又有种某种编舞的动作在里面。
So I attended a workshop in Hong Kong a few years back, and it was interesting that the choreographer who trained us wanted us to imagine us like in a cube. And in that cube, all the dancers have to touch the invisible lines and dots in the air. And it was such a simple system, but it creates a visualization of very beautiful dance moves, a very beautiful picture. And it was this idea that got me thinking about creating Happy Shadow.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about the development of the core mechanic of the piece, where in the piece there's a triangle, a square, a circle, and that as people are embodying these three different shapes, then as they move their arms and around, it changes the shape and orientation and size. And so it seems like that's a core mechanic of manipulating these shadows and inviting the audience to move their bodies in a dance-like performance that you're orchestrating, doing some choreography around in order to help direct people how they're moving their bodies through space. So, yeah, just curious to hear how this core mechanic came about and got developed.
就是这样子基本的就是互动方式是怎么样产生的，就是它是怎么样，为什么会有这个机制这样子。
在这个作品里面，我是比较是想要探讨 VR 的身体。那一般来说，在做 VR 的时候，比较像是改变我的环境，就像是走进一个梦境一样。但我觉得改变身体可以用 VR 的方式，因为 VR 可以把所有的视觉有形化。
视觉有形化的意思是？
就是把它视觉化出来。对，然后在这边我做的是比如说三角形是最一开始的版本，因为它可以连接头显跟手把这样子。
Okay, so a lot of people when they create VR, they wanted to put people in an environment like walking into dreams. But for me, I wanted to work with the body, like body in VR. So through this, I wanted to create a system where I maybe...
在说那个，不好意思，你再说一次，要用身体做什么事情？
就是要，比如说，就是对齐，比如说连接头显，想看怎么讲，就是它要连接，它要让我的身体去符合某些框线这样子。那我们最初一开始是先做的是三角形，那它是连接头显跟手把这样子，你要去对齐，然后它这时候就会产生一些动作。
So instead of putting people in those environments, I want to work with bodies and put these people like change how their bodies act through VR. So what I started with was experimenting, and the first shape I worked with was a triangle. So with the head as the one point and the two hands as the other two points, those three points create a triangle.
Okay. 然后我觉得在这一种符合要对位的过程当中，其实某种程度上很像我在关心女性的处境一样，就是我们常常要去符合某一些框架，我们需要用身体去符合，所以它这种某种，我想把这两个东西结合起来，就是我给你一些规则，在这种限制当中你要去对应它。那我们在一开始开发了三角形之后，为了让每个人有不一样的体验，所以我们在创造出圆形跟菱形。
So in this process, I realized that putting your body like aligning with the lines or in the dots, it's kind of like putting women in those social structures where they have to fit into certain shapes and certain roles. And we wanted more variations. So starting from triangles, we work with other shapes like rectangulars and circles.
So maybe you could describe why you wanted to have this as a multiplayer experience rather than just one person.
对，这个是我们为什么想要做多人，原因是因为我想要试着让这个多人当中是有一种互动合作的性质在。因为一开始其实我们最早在设计出这个互动架构的时候，我发现没有一个故事去堆积它，观众最后会觉得很无聊，所以我要让这个互动是有意义的，他们需要，所以我们在最后设计的一个故事是你要帮助 像里面女孩的角色让她离开房间，那我们想要创造出一种合作感觉，所以是大家一起帮她完成，像是我们要堆成一座桥让她慢慢离开这样子。
So we wanted to create an environment or a system for people to work together. Also, I realized that through creating the mechanics of interactions, the audiences might like gradually feel a little bit bored, like only working with the mechanics instead of having a story to push them forward. So to push them forward and like voluntarily like do these interactions, we want to create a story where these people can one work together to help the protagonist to go through their journey. So that's why we designed certain interactions such as building a bridge for Joeing, the protagonist, in this experience.
Yeah, and maybe you could describe using shadows and the inspiration from like puppet shadows or other inspirations that you had in terms of using shadows in this piece.
就是我们为什么要用影子，对不对？对，就是有没有其他灵感让你想要把影子放在这个里面，这个作品里面？
我觉得 shadow 对我来说，就是它好像我们另外一个自己。那我这边变成有点像是这个女孩的很多很多的影子的碎片，有一点像是这样子。然后我想要让观众不是看到自己本来的身体样子，我想要去，就像刚刚提到，我想要改变观众一般移动身体的惯性，所以我把它简化到只剩三个点。那在这个过程当中，你会发现你有不同的移动方式，因为我们太习惯我们平常的动作这样子。
So shadows for me in this piece is like another self for a person. And in Happy Shadow, those shadows may be fragments of their other selves or their roles. And also, I just mentioned that I want to, through this piece, help people like to change the way they move their bodies and explore the ways they could move. So that's why I simplified their body parts into 3 points in the space for them to create different shapes on the wall.
Yeah, and maybe you could talk a bit about the story that you have in order to help create a game loop between the interactions and the story, and you're going back and forth, but it's moving forward because the story continues to evolve. But maybe you could describe a little bit about the story that you wanted to tell.
我们在这个故事里面是想要来探讨为什么大家在追寻自己的成就的当中迷失了自我，就是为什么我们现在都越来越不快乐。尤其是我在影视产业已经待了10年，我觉得我身边有非常多有才，不只是女性，就是大家都非常有才华，大家也很努力的达成了某种成就，可是在这个追逐的过程当中慢慢的迷失自己。那其实我觉得在这次最难的部分是我们想要让互动跟故事达成了一个和谐，所以我们做了非常非常多的 workshop 去测试说什么时候互动要多一点，什么时候用故事去结束，去让它稍微让我们的讯息也能够有效的被产出。所以前面比较多是互动的部分，帮助他逃离房间，可是最后当中观众变成了一个旁观者，他去理解我们想要说的东西，那最后你会发现小女孩跟她小时候自己达成了和解。
So I wanted to explore in this story that why people in their process of chasing like achievements and chasing what they want, they gradually become unhappy. There are a lot of people around me because I've been in the film industry for 10 years now, and a lot of people, they're so talented, so beautiful, they're so creative, but through the process of creating these beautiful things, they gradually lost the happiness of creation in the beginning. So that's part of the story I wanted to tell.
就是我们在互动跟故事当中，我其实做这是我觉得最困难的地方，因为我们想办法要在同时有互动的当中，但是又要有故事，所以前面比较多互动是让大家可以帮助他离开，那最后变旁观者，那让故事收尾，然后小女孩跟自己的影子和解这样子。
And the hardest part in creating the story is actually balancing the interactions and the story, like how much weight we want to put on these two parts. And in the beginning, we focus on the interactions, like for the audience to help proceed the story. But in the second half of it, like the audience become like they stand in the side to watch the story happen. And so as we mentioned, that Shadow is like another self. And so in the end, people are watch Joey come to peace with her other self, aka the Shadow.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you had to do any work between the space that you had in the installation and how people were represented in that space and choreographing everybody so they weren't bumping into each other, or having a translation between the virtual and the physical space so that you could have this collaborative experience but have it be comfortable.
就是你在有没有设计过在这个空间里面这些观众应该要如何互动，或者是不管是彼此互动或者是在跟作品互动，那他让他能够整个东西像是一个编舞一样，这样应该就是这种在虚拟以及现实的空间都有就是不同的利用这样子。
我觉得在这一次我们在设计的观众过程当中比较多是角色跟观众的对话，一开始我们在做的时候比较是角色跟角色之间的对话，但我们几次在修改剧本的过程中发现观众没有被纳入在里面，所以我们加入了很多就是像剧中里面小精灵会跟你说你做得很好，那我们可以一起去一起加油一起度过，这样子让观众有一种被就鼓励参与的感觉。那在编舞的当中我们有做不同的面向，但是其实我觉得在我们做了这么多场大概接近50几场的呈现之后，我发现每个人的队形都会不一样，所以我自己蛮常在外面看，就是每一个人都有每一组都会有不同的队形出现，所以很难讲出一个固定的规则出来。
So in the beginning, as we developed the story, we did more like the character-to-character interaction. But then we realized that we have to include these audiences into the interactions. That's why we have these conversations from the little elf, the little dust elf, telling the audience that, oh, great job, or help us do this, do that. So in these interactions, it gradually like creates a very organic choreography. So I didn't actually design for people to move in a certain way, face a certain directions, but instead, with these interaction points and lines I designed, they can create their own choreographs. So in the more than 50 shows I did, actually, I really enjoy standing at the side, watching people create their own choreography, and it's really, really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was playing through the game with two other people that you have to rotate and make the shapes bigger or smaller, and for some people it was a lot harder than it was for me, and so I found myself sometimes having two people very quickly getting the shape and then waiting for the other person to get it. And then eventually, one time, I was the last person, and so everyone was waiting on me. And so just curious how you navigate that if you find that people are having a lot of trouble getting the right position of their hands and their head and their body in a way that you're really asking people to contort themselves in a way that they have to experiment to find this match because you have drawn an outline of the shape and then we have to kind of match it. So yeah, just curious to hear around that design process of how to make it challenging but not too challenging so that you're leaving people behind.
我们在这次的其实我们现在在这整个在引导的过程当中，我们会在第一关先让大家去练习一下暖身开始，但其实在这个暖身中还有一段蛮长的路。那我们现在其实在这个开发的过程当中算是把它调到蛮简单，但是每一个观众他对于这个关卡的难易度感受也还是不同。那我们自己在顾展的时候，我们会先保留点时间让观众自己去试错去感受，那如果真的可能找不到方法，我们会稍微去移动他的身体或是调整他的手去给予一些些提示，但我们还是希望保留空间让观众自己去探索。那我觉得每个人在不同的过关卡当中，他有时候可能是一下就解决，可能是最后一个解决，那每个人的情绪会不一样。但我也觉得在这一次在威尼斯的过程，在观影的过程当中， 我发现大家算是会 给予彼此鼓励，就是即使你是可能后比较后面那个，但是大家也会彼此加油，所以我自己看蛮感动的。
So there was actually a very long design process for the first part, which is the warm up part for the Happy Shadow experience. So we took a lot of time and effort to design this part because people, like you mentioned, people feel different ways of how hard creating these shapes might be, and it's different for everyone. So.We had to do a lot of experiments to see how hard we have to make these warm-up sessions be or repeat how many times, so it, because it's crucial for people to enjoy this piece. And also, throughout the experience, or should I say throughout the shows, we want people to explore themselves. So we rarely really like step in to help them. We step in only when they feel like it's really a struggle affecting their experience, maybe emotionally. Yeah. So yeah, we want people to really explore how to move their body. That's how we change how their body moves in VR.Yeah, but what I find this time in Venice, and I felt it is very touching because people start to communicate with each other, encourage each other because people are falling behind or maybe people are doing it really quickly to doing a great job, and it's really heartwarming.
And maybe you could elaborate on why you called it Happy Shadow, why the focus on happiness?
我觉得 happy 跟 shadow 就是快乐跟影，它是好像在如果用比较东方一点的想法，就是它好像是一种并存的感觉。因为像在追寻过程规则的过程当中，我们在想要符合某种框架当中，你会感觉到快乐，但你也会感觉到受阻碍。我觉得它是两种并存的状态，所以为什么叫快乐影？它是两面的。它不完全是纯然的快乐，它也不完全是纯然的负面，这样子。
So happiness and shadow, instead of being on the opposite sides of things, maybe in Eastern culture, they are something like they can exist simultaneously. Because well, when you chase after something, it can make you feel happy, but also...When you try to fit in those rules, you may also feel like you are having these obstacles in front of you. So they can exist at the same time. They can coexist peacefully.
So you had mentioned earlier around how some of the themes that you wanted to explore was...the feelings of being constrained or limited, especially for women. And so maybe you just elaborate on the themes of liberation or freedom or trying to escape from being constrained from a perspective of a woman.
对，就是因为你刚刚有提到说女性受限于框架嘛，那是不是可以就是探讨这这个地方再多延伸一点，就是。
就我从我自己的经验出发是。我从小就包含像乔琳也是，我们都是蛮常受到一种教育，是我们必须变一个讨喜的女生，像就是你讲话要温柔一点，然后你可能像我们以前学校都规定说一定要穿裙子，这个是我们在成长过程当中都经历到的，所以在这些元素里面，我们慢慢把它放到故事里面，就是。他会有一个人会一直跟你说，哎，你要穿裙子才会好看，哎，你要这样做人家才会开心起来，我们都好像一直活在一个你不能让人家生气的处境里面。
那有没有就是因为他有讲到 liberation， 就是如何突破这些框架的部分，
怎么突破，
对对对，跟在 Happy Shadow 里面的话就是这个 context。
我觉得在突破框架的过程当中，就是我觉得好像比较多是在你在符合那个框架里面，你找到一个自己的平衡当中，因为框架不可能消失，它会一直的存在，所以那个自由感是我觉得你要找到一个共处的方式，对我现在而言是这个样，我觉得我不可能让这些限制不见。
So when I was growing up, I think that a lot of Taiwanese women experience the same thing, or maybe even Eastern culture women. Growing up, we are taught to be a likable person, to be meek, to be polite, to be ladylike, or maybe when we wear uniforms, we are forced to wear skirts. And these kind of memories is a very like a shared memories for us, and that's where a lot of the inspirations came from for Happy Shadow. And as for liberations for women, what I think at the moment is that there are always going to be constraints and rules and social structures. They are never going to disappear magically. And so the liberation would come from when you find a way to coexist with these rules and structures. That's where you will feel free.
Yeah, in the story, you have this woman, Shadow, who is trying to escape, and so maybe could explain some of the parallels between the story of escape and liberation for women, if there was a way that the story that you were telling was trying to communicate certain aspects of that.
Shadow, 对，就是有跟你刚刚提到的 liberation 的方式跟故事里面那个逃出去的部分。嗯，
对，其实他在逃出去的时候，他是一直在追逐一个外在的目光，他的目光都是向外的。那在最后收尾的时候有一点点暴雷，就是他最后追寻的东西他自己跑过来到他自己的身上，他就不用那么奋力了。然后我这边是想要说，其实很多的平衡跟很多的你的安心安放都是在你自己身上，这是我最后想要讲的部分。那这个自由也是从你身上长出来，我们不用从外面去找。
Okay. So in the experience, you would think that liberation comes from escaping the confinements of that room. But actually, when the shadow is trying to go outside, they're actually going after the people's how they see themselves.How people see Joey as a person, how they see a shadow as a person. So what they're after is like a validation from the outside world instead of being really free or escape the social structures. But in the end, spoiler alert, what Joey was looking for actually came to her themselves. And so what I think is that freedom doesn't come from escaping somewhere. It doesn't come from you getting the thing you want. It comes from you having this peace inside yourself, finding peace yourself.
Right. What have been some of the reactions that you've had to Happy Shadow here so far this week?
我觉得蛮感动是做，其实有几个观众，尤其是也不一些女一些朋友，他们会留下来说，就是他们没有想到这个故事这么触动到他，让他想到一些自己的人生经验。然后我觉得这个东西是共有的，可能不，我也不觉得完全是针对女生。然后像是有人会哭。然后有人说他很谢谢我们，就是因为他就是正在面临他想做的事情。就是不被大家认可，那我觉得大家都很辛苦，那我希望大家可以对自己好。
So in Venice, I actually had a lot of audience coming to me saying thank you, expressing their gratitude, because I told a story. I think it's kind of universal. It's like maybe a shared memory for a lot of people, maybe not just women, maybe for all human beings, like chasing after their dreams, things that they want. So it's not just women audiences coming to me to say that this piece really resonates with them, but a lot of people of all ages.Like someone told me that this piece actually like hit them in the heart because they're going through something like what they really want to do in life isn't recognized by the people around them. So yeah, I'm really touched by these experiences with these audiences.
Yeah, thank you for that. And do you feel like you're doing what you want to do?
就是你觉得你现在做到你想做的事情了吗？
对啊，我觉得有做到，然后我觉得还蛮以我团队跟我自己骄傲，就是很辛苦的走到这段，然后我也很谢谢当初学院 他们看到了这个作品的潜力，那我觉得很开心能在这里。
So yes, I think I actually did what I really wanted to do, and I'm proud of my team, and I'm so very thankful for the Biennale Cinema for seeing the potential of this piece, and so that's.
文策院跟文化部的，就是要这样吗？
可以啊 ，and also in the development phase, we are also supported by Taika and the Ministry of Culture from Taiwan. And all these people, all these organizations helped us. That's how we made it to this point.
Mm. Right. And finally, what do you think the ultimate potential of virtual reality and this type of forms of immersive storytelling might be and what it might be able to enable?
VR 的潜力的，对对对。我觉得 VR 还有很多潜力，就是我觉得还是有很多观众在好奇这个媒材可以运用的方法。那我觉得作为我们新媒体的创作者，我觉得我们要更努力去说一个跟人性、跟人心有连结的故事，这样子。对，然后我觉得我们会继续加油，然后。我觉得在这次创作的过程当中，我觉得也不要被科技限制住，因为我一开始被这个媒材限制住，尤其是在做多人，然后又有很多像身高的限制啊、对位啊，好多技术的问题要解决。但在一次某一次的一个工作坊，老师要我去写下十个你想要让观众做到的事情，我发现这些技术通通不在我考虑的范围内，我就是想要让观众有感动，有被触动到的感觉，我觉得这是最重要的。
So I think virtual reality still has a lot of untapped potentials, and a lot of new creators are joining us in exploring a journey. So I think the important things for a creator like me, for everyone who wants to venture into virtual reality, the thing you need to know is that we need to create something that's really connected to human, connected to our humanity. Because one thing I found out during a workshop, the mentor told us to list out 10 things I want people to know, to feel through this experience. Because throughout the creative journey or the development phase of Happy Shadow, I actually encountered a lot of difficulties, technical difficulties. For example, I wanted to do a multiplayer, or because people have different eyesights or different heights. So some people may have difficulties aligning with those shapes. All these things give me a hard time, but when I list out all the 10 things, I realized that none of those technical parts were the main reasons I want to create or my main concerns for Happy Shadow. What I really wanted to do is to connect with people and maybe help them feel something through the experience. Yeah.
Great, sir. Any final thoughts that you have for the broader immersive community?
就是整个广大的 VR 社群，你有什么想要跟他们说的吗？
我其实很喜欢来看 VR 的作品，我觉得每一次都有新的发现，然后在这次也认识到很多我从在台湾就一直观察到的创作者。我想对大家说，我们继续创作，我很期待再看大家的新作品，这样。
I really, really enjoy experiencing virtual reality or maybe XR experiences. And here in Venice, I met so many creators that I've been keeping an eye on, like following on social media back in Taiwan. And it's such an experience. I am very, very happy to be here. And what I want to say is to the community is that let's keep creating together.
Awesome. Well, really enjoyed the embodied choreography of Happy Shadow and, yeah, just enjoyed the ways that you're able to have this collective communal, you know, puzzle game that also is very embodied but also tied together with the story that you're telling as well. So, yeah, felt like I was wanting to see what was going to be happening next and get harder and harder as well progressively. So, yeah, just really enjoyed the overall experience and thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage, and hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.